This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. We've been talking about worship, and I'm so excited to get into what we're about to get into. But first, let me say, Pastor Pete did an amazing job last week. I just wanted to say special thanks to Pastor Pete. It was so powerful. One of the greatest things that he said was, anybody can praise, but not everyone can worship. And I love that part. And also, without humility, it's impossible to worship. So I can't go through all the highlights of that message, and I can't go through all the highlights of the other messages in this series, but please go back and listen to the podcast, subscribe, share it around. It's on YouTube as well. Get that word in you, because I believe God is saying something so profound about worship in this season. And that's really been the focus of this series. God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go so that they can worship. A lot of times we leave out that so that they can worship part, but actually it's a very important component in what God is doing through us. So we're going to talk about that. The series is Let My People Worship. Let's continue in Exodus 12:31. Will you go there with me? Exodus 12:31 says, Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the night. Get out, he ordered them. Leave my people and take the rest of the Israelites with you. Go and worship the Lord as you have requested. Can I tell you that worship will get you out? It will get you out of bad relationships. It will get you out of bad circumstances. It will get you out of tight places. When you begin to worship God, God begins to get you out. And I truly believe this, whether it's something that you've got yourself into yourself, or something that you had nothing to do with, that you just found yourself circumstantially in that position. Sometimes, God knows, we've all done things that got ourselves into a little bit of a mess. We got ourselves, backed ourselves into a corner. But actually, as we worship God, as we enter into that type of relationship with God, it is freeing, it is liberating. Worship will bring you out. It's God's design that as we put Him first in the center of our lives, our problems just get smaller. The more we put God in the center, the more we worship Him, our problems get small. So as we step into a position of worship, our God steps into a position of sovereignty, and our lives begin to move. Our lives begin to shift as we make Him the center. Worship makes our problems begin to dissipate. Believe you me, when you get in the presence of God and you're lifting your hands and you're singing that song between you and God, the problems begin to dissipate. As I'm worshiping, I'm inviting God's presence into my life. And when God's presence shows up, other things have to get out of my life. One beautiful thing about worship is what has to leave your life when worship enters your life. This is so key, because when I'm inviting God in, it's pushing something else out. Worship will get you out of the trouble that you're in. Sometimes it's life itself that brings the trouble. Sometimes it's circumstances. Sometimes it's a toxic relationship. But as you worship God more in your life, the more of God you get in, the more it pushes out the toxic relationships, the more it pushes out the negative circumstances. There is a transformative power of God's presence that is released when we worship. So we see that worship will get you out, but worship also will cleanse you. Worship is cleansing. Exodus 19:14 said, so when Moses went down to the people, he consecrated them for worship, and they washed their clothes. There's a washing that happens when the Spirit begins to move and we're worshiping God. God's presence will cleanse you. It'll clean up your act, whatever you got going on. Get ready to get cleaned up if you begin to worship God. There's something that happens even in the soul realm. When we worship, we enter into God's presence, and worship cleanses our hearts of unrighteousness. The more we worship, the less wicked our hearts are. As we worship God, it's actually purging our hearts. And when I say heart, I'm talking about the emotions. We're talking about the motives that aren't like Him. They begin to shift. They begin to change as we worship. When we worship, we're saying, God, I'm placing my heart on the altar. Make it more like You. God, I want my heart to be syncretic to Your purposes. God, make my emotions more compatible with You. And God does that very thing for us. As we begin to worship, He touches our hearts. He shines a light on the emotions, on the thoughts that are holding us back. Worship is this cleansing environment. Ever felt that when you got into God's presence and you just felt some stuff just drop off of you? You just felt like a rain. You just felt like something that just going from your head all the way to your feet, something just cleansing you. Something happening in your heart that it's just like, it's flushing out all the impurities. Worship is cleansing. When we worship, we're putting our hearts and our motives in an atmosphere that cleanses and makes us new again. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. New Living Translation says, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you. When we worship, we're actually casting all that stuff off. We're casting off our worries. We're casting off our anxiety. We're casting off our stresses. And God cares for us. He wants us to lay that stuff down. He's desired and designed that as we come into God's presence, we're casting off our cares, our thoughts, our worries, our concerns, our emotions, and He's renewing us. He's regenerating us. And much of that happens in the emotional realm, you know. And sometimes as guys, we don't like to admit that there's stuff happening in our emotions. But actually, God is touching our emotions too. It's not just the ladies, not just the kids. Also, it's the guys too. God is touching our hearts. God is cleansing our emotions. And worship cleanses us. But that's not all. It says in the same passage, it says that it sets us apart. It says we need to get consecrated as we go into worship. And as we're worshiping, it consecrates us. There's something different between those that are lost and those that are found. There's a difference between those that have accepted Christ and those that have not. It's called worship. When we worship, it's this big delineating factor. People that are lost don't worship. The people that have accepted Christ, those are the ones that are truly into a position that they can worship. So worship sets us apart. It sets us apart. We have the honor and the privilege of worshiping God. And as we worship Him, He continues to make us different. We're different than the world. The more that we worship, the more that we worship Him, the more Christ is revealed in us, and we begin to look different, we begin to sound different. We're set apart. Worship sets us apart. It makes us different. It makes us ready for God's plans. It makes us ready for God's purpose. Worship makes us compatible with God's purpose and less compatible with the world. Worship it'll set you apart. If you're truly worshiping God, you begin to find there is an incompatibility with the lifestyle of this world and your new lifestyle. You can't worship, truly worship, and fit in completely with the lifestyle of this world. Worship will make you different. It sets you apart. Even if you're not trying to be different, eventually, after you're worshiping God and you're in His presence, you start looking like Jesus. And Jesus looks different than the world. And it just happens. You might not have been trying to look different. You weren't trying to be different. But if you're really worshiping, you're going to be different. Just type in different. I'm different. I'm different. So as we worship, though, we begin to not really mind the fact that we're different. It becomes more important to us to be like Christ. Today, I just want to be more like Christ. Every day, if I could just be just a little bit more like Christ. When I get in God's presence, I feel like I'm just becoming a little bit more like Christ. And worship does that. It sets you apart. And then this is something you might not have expected, but worship is exclusive. Just type that, exclusive. If you're in the room with me right now, just say exclusive. Exodus 20 and 5 says, "You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other God." Worship is exclusive. When you worship God correctly, you can't worship anything else. When you truly worship God, it forces every idol out of your life. The more you worship, the more it will change your perspective. It will change your priorities. The more that I'm worshiping, the more God is the center. The more I'm worshiping, I can't have other things. Here's a disclaimer. Here's the warning label on the back of worship. When the more you worship God, the less important everything else becomes. Especially the stuff that doesn't have anything to do with God and the character of God and the purposes of God and the will of God. Those things become strangely dim. Those things become strangely unimportant. There's this thing that happens when we worship. Worship is exclusive. There's an exclusivity to God. You can see it throughout His Word. He wants us to worship. He wants all of our worship. So when you truly worship Him the way you're supposed to worship Him, it's extremely exclusive. And so we see some people try to commingle faith and commingle belief systems. They have no idea what they're talking about because God is exclusive. Worship is exclusive. You can't commingle faith. You can't commingle belief systems because God says, Jesus says it to us, John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That's exclusive. Jesus said the only way to the Father is through me. The only way you're going to get there. The only way you're going to get to heaven. The only way you're going to live God's purposes out in your life is through me. No other way but Jesus. Worship is exclusive. God made it that way. I didn't make it that way. I'm not turning the scripture sideways to try to make it say something that I want it to say. That's just the way that Jesus said it. I can't change it. You can't change it. Worship is exclusive. When we worship Him, we can only worship Him. No other gods allowed. No other idols allowed. No other priority higher than Him. There can be nothing else taking up the God space in your life when you truly worship. Worshiping God is exclusive. Exodus 23:24. You must not worship the gods of these nations or serve them in any way to imitate their evil practices. Instead, you must utterly destroy those idols and smash their sacred pillars. Sometimes we have to have a smashing party in our life and some of the stuff we've set up. Some of the idols we set up, some of the other priorities that we set up higher than God, we need to smash that stuff. We need to take that stuff, destroy that stuff, and put God back in the center of our life. That's because worship is exclusive. And worship is very focused. It has to be directed to Him. You know, that the DNA of a great worship song, a DNA of a true worship song, is it's all about Him. It might go over here, over there, but it always comes back and converges. The main focus is God. A Christian song could be focused on my Christian walk or my peaks and my valleys, my challenges, my problems, but a worship song, that's different. A worship song is all about God. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Holy Spirit. It's not so much about me. I'm a footnote in this song because that's about worship. Worship is very focused. The main story in the worship is God. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. The true worship song, all roads lead to God. Amen. Worship is focus. So don't get distracted in your worship. Keep the focus on God. Worship is very focused. I want to give you a couple of bonus thoughts. Worship is saying, I want more. Worship is saying, God, I want more. I want more of you. I want more of your purpose. I want more of your Spirit in my life. I want more of the fruits of the Spirit to show in me. God, I want more. Worship is saying, I want more. It's a hunger for more of God. And the truth is, you only grow or diminish in your relationship with God. You only grow or diminish. Either you grow in faith, you grow in zeal, you grow in the word, you grow in worship, or you're diminishing. You can never really stand still. It's really like a tree. Either the tree is growing or the tree is dying. The tree is growing. It only has two states that it can be in. It can either grow, it can get more foliage, it can get bigger, or it can die. The same thing is like with our faith, with our worship, and our relationship with God. We're either growing or we're falling away. We're either growing in our worship or we're falling away. Worship is saying, I know I got something going on, but I want more. I'm not just not satisfied with what I had last week. I'm just not satisfied with what I had last month or last year. I want more, God. Philippians 3:7-9, the Apostle Paul said it this way. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. And he also said this, Philippians 3:10-11, he said, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him. I want a sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. It's saying, God, I want more. I want more of Jesus. I want to understand his ways, his plan. I want to move more synchristically with the Holy Spirit. God, I want more. Worship is saying, I want more. And worship is saying, worship is asking to be a vessel. It's asking when I'm worshiping, I'm asking God, make me a vessel. God, pour me out and pour you in. Pour me out and pour me in. A vessel is something created to contain something, transport something, display something. The vessel isn't so much important as what's inside the vessel. When we worship, we're saying, God, make me a vessel that I could contain something of you, that I could contain some of your presence, that I could contain some of your fruit, that I could contain some of your virtue. God, as I'm worshiping, make me a vessel. As we worship, we become full of his Holy Spirit, and there's power in that. There's grace in that. There's an abounding love in that. When I'm full of the Holy Spirit, when I get filled up, some of what was previously there has to get displaced. We understand in science that when you put something in, that something else will get displaced, whether it's air, whether it's a liquid, whether it's a solid. You put something in, something else has to come out. So the more we get in God's presence and we're worshiping, we get more filled up with God's presence, and it displaces things that don't or of lesser value in our lives. As I worship, there's more of his glory in me and less of my flesh, my hang-ups, my insecurities, my fears, my doubts. As I pour more of his spirit in, all the stuff that's been holding me back is just being pushed out. It's being displaced because there's only so much space in this vessel. I want it to be full of God's spirit. When the spirit of the Lord is poured in, the flesh is pushed out. Worship is asking for that to happen. Worship is saying, God, make me a vessel. I hope that's your prayer today, because we're on this beautiful journey that is worship. We're saying that worship will get you out. It'll get you out of a tight spot. Worship will cleanse you. It'll clean up your act. You might have thought you weren't worthy. You might thought you were dirty. You might thought you've got all this sin in your past and these skeletons in your closet. Worship will cleanse you, and it'll set you apart. All of a sudden, you begin to look different, talk different, act different. You begin to be different. And that's okay. And it's exclusive. It's only about God. It's all about God. It's seeing life through the lens of God first. It's very focused. It's saying, I want more. God, give me more. I want more. I want more of you in my life. I want more of you in my family. I want more of you in my career. I want more of you in my actions. I want more of you in my emotions. God, I want more. I want to understand you more. And God, make me a vessel. Make me somebody that you can work through. Make me somebody that, God, you can use to help others. God, fill me up with you so that when I go, I've got something actually of value that I can pour out. I'm in a relationship. I'm in a conversation. I'm in an opportunity. I'm walking through a door here, and all of a sudden, I've got something to pour out because I'm a worshiper, and I've been in the presence of God, and I have had something poured into me. Will you bow your heads right now as we pray together? I believe this is so important. Maybe that's you today. You're saying, I want to be a greater worshiper. I want to go a little farther in my faith. I want to have a little bit more of God. I want to be a vessel. If that's you, just lift up your hands. And if you're watching this, just stretch your hands towards the screen right now. I want to pray for you right now because I think this is critical in our faith world. God, touch each and every person that's listening right now. God, the people that are in the room, God, the people that are listening right now to the broadcast, God, make us greater worshipers. God, let us make space for you. God, if there's any other priority, if there's anything getting in the way, if there's any negative emotions, if there's any toxic relationships, if there's any circumstances that need to change, God, change it. God, displace it. God, pour your spirit on us. Lord, you promised in the book of Acts that you would pour out your spirit on all flesh. We would see prophecy. We would see healing. We would see deliverance. We would see all manner of miracles. So God, I pray, make us worshipers first. Make us worshipers first. Let us look at life through the lens of God. Let us look at life through the lens of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you, God, that you create a heart like that in us, a heart to worship. And maybe as we're praying, you say, Pastor, my life isn't where it needs to be right now. I want to get a hold and grab a hold of what you're saying, but Pastor, I'm not even sure if I'm where I need to be with Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity right now to accept Jesus as your Savior, to accept Jesus into your life, to have a real, genuine relationship with Him. If that's you, just slip your hand up or slip your hand towards the screen right now. I want to pray for you. If that's you, I want you to say this prayer with me. Jesus, thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Jesus, I want relationship with you. Jesus, I want you to walk with me. I want you to show me how to live. I want you to show me how to make the right decisions. Make me more like you. Take me on this journey of faith. Thank you for wiping away my sins. Thank you for reconnecting me with the Father. And thank you for being with me, no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.